Let him run to their friends sweetly, as their friend has been led to choose it, and give it there. It seems to pick up exactly where one's spirit is, as we would speak to you this afternoon, still kind to hear and strong to save. That's how God is by the Spirit toward his people, still kind to hear and strong to save. I would direct you to the word that we've read this afternoon, bearing in mind the text this morning, to the words here of Peter's epistle, for as much as ye know, that is verse 18, the first chapter, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, it's the wonderful witness of the way God helped Peter to continue and the disciples to continue. We know how the Lord rose triumphant o'er the grave, and what we have considered this morning, I know very feebly, but the wonderful, glorious resurrection of Christ. He rose triumphant o'er the grave, and now it was made known to the disciples, and the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And now the dear disciples, they so rejoiced, and when he revealed himself and afforded them to be in his holy presence, come and stood in the midst of them and spoke to them, peace be unto you. And we know in another record showed them his hands and his feet, and how he restored dear Thomas in that way, who had been in very, very much unbelief. How he was brought to be able to say and acknowledge, my Lord and my God. And friends, the dear disciples continued, and we have these wonderful epistles that those dear apostles wrote, and this epistle. And it's this, the continuing need and the continuing acknowledgement of Christ and all what he had accomplished, and knowing that he is in heaven now at the right hand of the Father. And this is the way of God's people continuing, like in the 17th verse. So I direct you to Peter's first epistle, the first chapter, reading the 17th and 18th verses with the 19th. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, as much as ye know. It's this, friends, which should sanctify us and make us to be in humility and love, and that we should never forget the cost of our redemption. If God has revealed to you and to me the great cost of our redemption, that it was Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, who came to this earth wrapped in humanity to die for crimes that, and it's personal when God applies it, and you will so be greatly humbled and melted in thankfulness and gratitude to God for crimes that I have done, that he came for me, suffered, bled and died for me. That should, it will, I believe, it will certainly truly make us humble characters. What can soften hearts of stone, friends? Jesus' precious blood alone. And when the Lord so works to, in that holy, blessed, sacred way, to make application to his people what they need, even of his holy, precious blood is shed, They receive it by faith. It's applied to them by faith. They must acknowledge it. They must be melted in gratitude to God for it. Now, how are we? What state are we in? Those of us here who have a humble hope and the testimony of it that Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. Have you had this favour? And some of you look back to that time of the favour of it. How are you now? Or is it with you that you are seeking this favour? To know your Jesus crucified for you. And you will know it and acknowledge it by far excels all things beside. Oh, it will be so. You will feel it so. You will know it so. But oh, friends, to be continuing. I think particularly, I've dwelt on this a lot in pondering. Peter was helped and enabled to continue. He would have never forgot what he'd done, friends. It may be you've got that which you can never forget what you've done. But the great wonder of it, friends, was that Peter's sin was blotted out by the blood of Christ. Now is this your concern and mine? To know that our sins are so dealt with by God. Blotted out by Jesus' precious blood. I was telling your dear deacons of how one experienced on two occasions a solemn yet blessed time when we felt to be absolutely alone with God. And we had heard Mr. Ramsbottom speak to us in one of the, I think it was about the third one we had at Clifton of the minister's prayer meetings. And he had spoken to us regarding Isaiah when he come to that point saying, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and so on. And our dear friend, the Lord's servant, said, Isaiah was alone with God. And as he spoke these things, the Holy Spirit came upon me and led me back to two times when I was solemnly alone with God. But oh, they were very solemn times. But oh, God has blessed them in the blessed memory of them, experience of them, to make me also acknowledge what blessed times they were. And I believe it will be this with you, any one of you, if you know such a time of God's holy favour to you, you feel to be alone with God and you feel solemnly so much of your awful state that you are in yourself, your guilt as a sinner, your depravity of heart, the wickedness of your heart, and the danger of Satan's trying to so get you and make shipwreck of faith, but the Lord coming to save you from Satan's wiles and snares, to save you from, deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And the way God in such a situation delivers his people from the snare of the fowler, he reveals his dear beloved Son. He reveals Jesus Christ to his people. He comes to them. He never comes too late. He comes in that moment of time. He comes to save. And he's able to save unto the uttermost. He comes with all what is done. And he applies it to his people by faith. And they know that favour as their sins are dealt with, blotted out by the blood of Christ. Friends, this is what I pray for as I go about in the ministry. That souls may be blessed in these ways. I may be blessed, wonderfully blessed, to know Jesus Christ, to know my Jesus crucified for me. To have by faith that seal of the Spirit that his holy blood is shed, was shed for me. So here we have, and in these ways it is here that Peter has recorded it. He knows that his people, continuing, God's people, continuing in their pathways, they must and will need to call on the Father. Wonderful favour to call on the Father, call on God our Father, and feel the favour of gaining access to God the Father, our Heavenly Father. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn in here in fear, tender filial fear, that fear that works by love, not a dreadful fear like we had when we were under the law, but the tender filial fear of God. Pass the time of your sojourn in here in fear as you continue, and because of what follows, for as much as ye know, as much, a great deal, a wondrous amount of deal of favour, for as much as ye know, the greatest thing that you know, the most wonderful thing that you know, for as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, bring no money, price, nor aught, no good deed, nor pleasing frame. Mercy never can be brought. All is free, and all's the Lamb's. Like as in the book of the prophet Isaiah, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, this favour. Oh, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. This wonderful fact, wonderful provision, God's providing for the remedy of sin. Oh, that Lamb, Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Holy One, the Holy Lamb of God. Yes, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. I believe this, the favour of it, the blessed experience, the knowledge of it, known by faith, God's people will find that the work of the Holy Spirit in them will cause them to so know the real favours of living and being brought by the grace of God into an understanding of what is real treasure, real blessing. Oh, where thy treasure is, thy heart will be also. Oh, toward a precious Christ, he's so precious. Affections, fond affections, fix their sight on God's beloved Son. You will know him as so precious. And like we sang, it was a blessed theme, come upon me in the night. Jesus takes the highest station. Oh, we felt it in the early hours. He takes the highest station. How is it with you, friends? What think you of Christ? Is he exceedingly precious? Could you even say he's more precious far than life and all its comforts are? Oh, you must be so. But think you of Christ. I believe the work, the way and operation of the Spirit will be for this, to make Christ precious in those God loves, those God has loved with an everlasting love, his children, children of the Heavenly King, like we've sung. Christ will be made so precious to them. Oh, may it be a question with us. May we not hide things or cover things or try to, in any way, by any sentimental claim, claim things that are not real and good. But may we really know Jesus Christ as precious above everything else. Oh, here he said, oh, and it is some have taken it hard in a hard way, where the Lord said, except ye forsake father and mother and wife and children, you cannot be my disciple. I do not believe that in any way God, or the Son of God particularly, or even his apostles, would ever exhort us to wrongly forsake father and mother and wife and children. It doesn't mean that. But the comparison, the reality of who is first, who is the one loved, spiritually loved by the people of God. Oh, Jesus Christ, he who is our elder brother, He who is born for adversity under the will of God, willingly so, in his holy willingness and the purpose of God the Father, and that he might suffer the just for the unjust, gave his own life a ransom, paid that ransom price with the shedding of his holy blood. You're not redeemed with corruptible things. Everything else of natural things, material things, is put in that right place then. Oh, precious Jesus, friend of sinners. Yes, Jesus does indeed take the highest station. I put it to you in love, friends, and faithfulness, for you to consider me too. You know, are we considering this test? What think you of Christ as a test? Oh, to know where we stand, to try both your state and your scheme. Yes, he will be that highest one. And oh, we are to consider it like this. In this way, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. None of us should sadly, solemnly decry or speak against good traditions. Here it says, vain traditions. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition, vain conversation, half the breath that's vainly spent. And I know I'm troubled with this. Where to heaven in supplication sent, cheerful songs would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. And friends, you know, all our conversation, our talking, and oh, is it with any one of you? Yes, you do get, and I do get involved in a lot of talking. And it could solemnly, sadly be, perhaps should be acknowledged that it's vain conversation, a lot of it. But oh, what is it causing us to miss out or to neglect regarding what we should be acknowledging? I think of it, you know, and I feel and I pray for friends we know and love in the churches up and down across the land. There's one preaches in up to around toward 50 church chapels each year. And, you know, God has given us many friends through that. And we love them in Christ. And we know some of them have been wonderfully blessed. But some of them who have been wonderfully blessed have not testified what the Lord has done for their souls. Are there any here? They've been wonderfully blessed, but you haven't testified what the Lord has done for you. You know, caught in the vain conversation received by tradition. Oh, we can be caught in it. Just natural talking when we should be speaking of Jesus Christ. When we should be telling the sinners round what a dear Saviour we've found. But all these things and natural things take our time, take up our interest. Oh, I believe Peter here is, there's this tenor of warning in it. There's this tenor of solemn acknowledgement. As he speaks, as he's written here, For as much as ye know, that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition, from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That price God the Father paid, God the Son paid, for the redemption of the church, the holy blood of God, divine blood. Not all the blood of bulls and goats was good enough. That could not make the guilty conscience whole, nor wash away the stain. But the holy blood of God, the blood of Christ. Christ the heavenly Lamb takes all our sins away. You know, it's this, friends, isn't it? For if we die with sins that are not atoned for, we must be cast in hell. But, oh, God's people, their hope is that their sins are dealt with by God, by Christ's blood, applied to them, that their sins are put away, washed away, blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. The greatest, most wonderful favour indeed. Perhaps I should say, in saying the greater favour even than that is justification by faith, but you can't have justification by faith without knowing redemption by price paid. These are all in the wonderful way of God of saving souls. Oh, it's by his precious blood shed, that price paid for the pardon of and redemption of the church. And God's people blessed to be favoured to have that imputation of the righteousness of Christ. Oh, it's saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. And should we be so taken up with so many things and neglecting to tell of what God's done for us? Oh, when he has done such great things for us. Some of you may say, well, I cannot claim these things yet. But are you really earnest on the stretch for them? Are you really earnest in begging God for them? As God by the Spirit taught you, then there is but this one way you can be saved and found in heaven at last. There is no other way. There is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And so is it this? Is it that you really know, and God made it so, that you know and you want to graciously, humbly, rightly, reverently acknowledge the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, the price that God Jehovah required to be paid, and in such holy willingness of the sovereign purpose of God, God made that provision. God's dear Son, in perfect agreement in covenant transactions, and in that time appointed, came to this earth, born in that miraculous way, separate from sinners. Oh, found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, the stoop of Christ, stooped down to wretchedness and dust, the guilty worms might rise. Oh, and he shed his blood, his precious blood. Oh, it could be said how, and as it were, it was seen in this way by all that watched who were not taught of God. He was crucified and slain on Calvary's tree. But God's people were known, be taught by the Spirit like this. He laid down his life. He had said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He laid down his life, shedding his holy blood. Oh, that wonderful redemption was brought in. Redemption by that price paid of the holy heart's blood of Christ. Oh, we are not redeemed with corruptible things. It's one of the words in the Word of God, like it is in Hebrews, where we have that wonderful word, where it is acknowledged, Christ the great high priest is acknowledged. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of his people's infirmities, of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched. Here it is, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. No, not that way, no other way, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh yes, he shed his blood. He shed his blood for the redemption of the church. The price has been paid, the fight has been fought, and the victory has been won by Christ. And he's ascended up on high, he's in heaven now. Do we Are we given that faith, strong faith, to believe that our Lord lives no more to die? Lives the Lord enthroned on high? Well, oh, I believe we will be greatly sanctified by God if we know this as God teaches us and leads us on in the way. Christ is made so precious. Oh, he is given to his people to know him and to consider him. You know, the Lord is aware of his people's every need. And oh, he is, and he gave his dear apostles to know what they experienced. It put them to be under God's purpose to be in such a position of having experience, that experience they knew of what all those they met with, those that would be by the grace of God saved and follow the Lamb of God, and being in the wilderness journey, being in the path of tribulation, going along through the veil of tears, they had their own personal experience. And grounded upon this, they could feel, so much feel, for each of the people of God. You know, the servants of God today, I believe it is God's purpose and will to cause his servants to know experiences which maybe some others do not know, but whatever it is that God has purposed they should experience, so that they may be able to feel for and to preach the word to God's people, oh, that they might know by experience what the dear people of God are going through, what they are in. You know, I hope I can say my ministry is grounded upon what God has made me, given me to experience of the things of that which is my lot and pathway, but under sanctification to make me know I must rely wholly upon Jesus Christ, him alone. And thus we preach Christ crucified in this way and direct sinners to Christ. We can't actually direct them, but we preach, praying and begging and led of the Spirit that, oh, sinners may be drawn to Christ, may look to Jesus, look to Jesus kind and strong, pity joined with power. And so it is, friends, that I see this and feel this in the way Peter went on and what we've read in these two chapters. You see how he writes in the second chapter that there is these lively stones built up a spiritual house. He also acknowledges, and how Christ, even the Son of God, may be to some a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. You know, what think you of Christ? Oh, do we have those views and understanding and that knowledge of him which is given us by the Spirit of God, or do we only have natural knowledge? Do we just know him as a good man? Oh, no. No, we must know him as the man of sorrows, the God-man, the mediator now, the great high priest, our great high priest above. Yes. Oh, but to many who are religious people, to the Pharisees he was, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence. But look at verse 9 in the second chapter. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. There's a dear lady who attends Mount Bewers Chapel. She has come in among our people. But she is a lady who used to worship with a group of people, used to call themselves, name themselves, acknowledge themselves as the peculiar people. There are people professing followers of Christ who are actually under that name as what they know and love and profess, peculiar people. The church of the peculiar people. You will find them if you went about trying diligently to find them, the peculiar people. What I pray for and look for and watch and wait upon God for is that we may all be truly as a peculiar people. A peculiar people. But look at these peculiar people, what they are involved in, what they're exercised in. Oh, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Has he called some of you in this way? And are you made by his grace a peculiar people? Peculiar person? Oh, a person who has been separated out to God, to Christ, to himself. Oh, here it says, as we've just read it, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. You know, there's this, friends, that one must deliver. There are souls that we know, we have had the witness of, God has blessed, God has favoured, but they have not testified what God has done. Oh, but God's way is to make his people to be a peculiar people zealous of good works. It's not the good works that will save us, but the good works that we will be zealous in if we are blessed by the Spirit of God. We know and taste redeeming love. Our good works that God will encourage us in, exercise us in, is praise. Praise to our triune God. Praise in our God. Live into his praise. And oh, I believe this with all my heart. God's love has such a power in it to affect us, to make us willing, to make us, to enable us, to give us, his grace will give us the enabling, the grace of faith and grace of diligence, the grace of love in return to God. We love him, John said, because he first loved us. And for us to so live to his praise, we must take up our cross and follow him. You see, there are many things that are important to us that we attend to, naturally do. What about attending to what the Saviour commands? What our Saviour calls us, so in the way he calls us to follow him? Are we neglectful? Are we disobedient? Are we coming so short? And friends, you know, don't use, I've used it and I've had to feel the smarting of being chastised for it. I've used the excuse, well, we do come short. We do keep coming short. We come so short. That is a fact. But it shouldn't be used as an excuse to cover up our disobedience. It shouldn't. No, it shouldn't. It surely shouldn't. No, if we do, it's been left to craftiness of the old nature coming in. Being under the dictates of the old nature. Oh, how sad that is. Oh, may we not be. May we be concerned to be praying against that way of our old nature. The ways of our deceitful hearts. May we be saved from them. May we be led by the Spirit. May this be our desire, our prayer. For they that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we do need that confirming, that assuring, that we are the sons of God, for we're going on. We're dying. We're going toward the grave. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But oh, the word of our God shall stand forever. And what he's done in us, and that will stand forever. But oh, may we not live in a wrong confidence which dishonors Christ, but may we live in the confidence, not a confidence that's vain, but the confidence of faith. which will be, have in it the fear of God, which will have in it love to God, love to Christ, love to his people, love to his name and cause. And oh, that we may deny ourselves and take up our cross. Nothing I'm saying in these ways is to in any way, as it were, claim merit or promote merit. We have no merit, but oh, it is all upon his merits. It's all upon what he has done. But he is our Lord and our life, our all, King of kings and Lord of lords. And what he has done has brought in this wonderful redemption. Brought to his people to know and experience the wonderful peace. Peace which by his cross is made. Yes, the wonderful favours of his love. And to know it and taste it, and to know and taste redeeming love. So it's for our consideration, it's for our meditation. I believe this is how the apostle, what his purpose is in writing in this way, under the influence of the Spirit. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, you know, you will solemnly confess, each one of us will, about our vain conversation, all the things that were vain, all the things that are really worthless and vain, and what we must renounce, what we must leave. Your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. See, you can't inherit grace. It's not given by inheritance in a natural way, not the grace of God. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, God's price paid for the redemption of his people. Precious blood of Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In the field behind where we live, there's been hundreds of sheep with their lambs. Last week, the farmer who has the field near came with his transporter several times and loaded up all the lambs. Whether they are still alive now or not, I don't know. But all the lambs were taken away, only the sheep are there now. We can't help but think what has happened to those lambs. That's the way of God's provision of the meat for the food of mankind, we know. But, oh, I don't think anybody can be left with any thoughts of feeling sadness. Such a scene as that. Me and my wife felt the sadness to see those lambs being loaded up. 3 decks of them in the big transporter. Oh, friends, think of it in these ways, but think of Christ, the Lamb of God. Lamb of God. We have it in one of the hymns, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. And that verse, it finishes like this, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Oh, he came, was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep dumb before his shearers, so he openeth not his mouth. Oh, in his love and in his pity, redeem the church. Yes. Oh, may we consider him. May the Holy Spirit lead us more and more into the wonders of redeeming love. May we know and have the assurance of it, that he come to shed his blood for me. Oh, as the Lamb of God. You know what it was given to John, the Holy Spirit, and that exercise given to John the Baptist, to cry in that wonderful way, that one in the wilderness as he was, and to cry, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, our Lord has suffered, bled and died, shed his holy blood, redemption by price paid, Oh, what favour we have when we are led in, by the Spirit to consider Christ's sacrifice. We consider him in Gethsemane, where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. I believe that was the beginning of redemption in that way, in the actual sacrifice of Christ, sacrificing himself. We know he carried the great burden of the sins of the church upon him, came with the names of his people upon his breast when he came to this earth. But oh, as he drew near to that time of his sufferings, oh, then we know, as he spoke of it, as he prayed in Gethsemane, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and we know how he prayed. But oh, his words, not my will, but thine be done, as he was praying to God his Father. Can you say, our Father, my Father? And the will of the Father was that he should punish for his people, his dear Son. And all has been accomplished. Redemption, his work is done. And our Lord is in heaven now. And as the great high priest, he pleads his merits. His holy blood is shed before the Father. In the court of heaven, he pleads for his people. Ever lives to make intercession for them. Oh, how precious is our Lord, our Saviour. And he is as to be acknowledged by his people, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, he is indeed. He'll be the Holy One, the greatest one, the most precious one to his people. I pray we may be able to meditate upon him. The Holy Spirit will give us to give him all the glory. Oh, the glory for redemption, for salvation, for all what is done. Oh, may we be so given to be unable to live to his praise, friends. I hope you will be able to, and I will be able to, meditate upon him. See, he has taken the highest station. Oh, has he taken the highest station in thy heart and soul? What think you of him? Yes, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. This way sinners are saved and prepared for heaven. And at the judgment day it will be in the hands of Christ, the Son of God himself. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? It will be those who have found, as it was in the Passover, those who have found under the blood of Christ, that will be saved from eternal damnation and taken home to heaven. Amen.